Hey guys, welcome back to my YouTube channel. Today I'm going to be doing something kind of different. I just wanted to come on here, share my journey so far, share my experiences, share the things that I've learned recently with you, and kind of connect. And I'm also using this filter on my MacBook. I don't know, I just felt like it was just something fun to today. People have been telling me you need to like upgrade your what is it called, like your technical stuff with your camera and everything, and I'm like, yeah, but this is for me right now. The priority is to just get in the vibes of making content, get into the skill, the habit of making content more than anything, like, because I know how easy it is to upgrade the technical stuff and like just get really high quality production. I know that is possible. For me right now, the biggest thing is habit building. So that's actually my priority. So I just wanted to share that quickly first off. Today I'm going to be talking about the hardship of entrepreneurship. I want to share with you the things that have been really, really difficult for me recently, probably for the past 6 months or so. Things that I want to share about my journey. Just starting a business. For any of you who are starting a business, who's running your own business, you may relate to a lot of the things that I'm saying. I also want to paint a very clear picture of the work that I do, right? Things behind the scene, things that are not glamorous, things that are not spoken so much about. And just overall the picture of being an entrepreneur. So I feel like my throat. I feel like when I first started this journey, I really had this like glamorous idea of what entrepreneurship is. I had this glamorous idea of what it means to like be your own business owner, to have your own business, to do your own thing, to have this freedom to do all the things, right? To do the things that you love. And so I went into business with obviously a lot of optimism, a lot of rose-colored glasses, as all of us, right? As all of us do. And I basically, I went all in, right? And everything that I do, I invest my time, my energy, my effort, my resources into the projects that I'm going in. So for me, this coaching business, when I started, I went all in. Like, I basically went all in. And for me, it was like the reason why I wanted to do this is because I want to help other people in the same way that I was helped when I was going through something difficult. So when I was going through my hard time, I had my coaches, I had therapists, I had coaches who were helping me. And through years and years of doing this work, I started to realize that I wanted to be that person for another person. I wanted to be that person that would extend that help to another person. And so for me, it just felt like there was such a deep sense of purpose there. But the path of entrepreneurship is freaking difficult and challenging. And here's what I have to say about my past year experience. One of the most heartbreaking thing, the most heartbreaking experience for me has been any kind of quote unquote, I'm gonna put a quote because it is like a breakup, with a client. The reason why I put the term breakup is because it feels like heartbreaking like that for me. Not to the point of, as much as like a romantic relationship, but it is quite heartbreaking. And I want to be that person that can say, well, I'm fine, I'm chill, I don't think much about it, it doesn't affect me. But the truth and the reality of this experience for me is that this has been the most difficult challenge in my journey as a coach, as a business owner, as somebody who wants to like help others with just the things that have been helped. That's been one of the most difficult things I've ever experienced in my entire life, I think. Especially in my professional career, that is 100% true. Is any kind of breakup with a client, for me, that was the most challenging thing to deal with in the past year. I've cried countless times, and it's like, it's not that there are countless people that break up with me in this coaching relationship. There are very few. There are 2 to 3 people to the amount of all the people that I've served, which is probably like 30. So to me, it's like it's a very small amount, but it's been the biggest heartbreaks. And for certain individuals, like some of my clients, like one or two of them out of the three, I would actually spend like days crying and processing the relationship. And for me, that's something that I've never experienced before, right? I've only experienced that kind of grief when it comes to, you know, my friendships, let's say, with my best friends, or with my family, or with my ex-boyfriends. I've not had that kind of grief when it comes to any kind of professional setting up until this point. So that's when I realized the reason why I feel so much sadness and grief and, you know, confusion and all these things and all these negative emotions is because I deeply care for every single person that enters the room, like when it comes to my work. I can't even explain it. At some point I thought, is this like codependency? Because I care so much for that person that it actually affects me, that I feel like I shouldn't be feeling this way. I shouldn't be feeling bad that they're breaking up with me on kind of, you know, not like a so positive terms. But then I came to the realization, and this took a long, long time, is that sometimes people change their minds, sometimes things don't align, and that's just how it goes. That's just how it works. It's funny because in a romantic relationship, you come to that realization after like probably 6 months of a breakup, right? You're like, okay, yeah, I realized that relationship wasn't right for me. Or sometimes like you come to that realization after like 1 year. So for me, that's the same thing that I experienced in my business journey, is with my client's relationship. When there is that breakup that doesn't, because, you know, obviously like clients come and leave, right? Like you can come, you can get coached, and then you can leave anytime you want, and that's totally fine. But I think when there are conflicts and disagreements, or kind of like a shakeup in a relationship, that's when it gets hard. Because I don't have the expectation that once a client comes in, they have to stay forever. Like, I don't have that expectation whatsoever. I think that you can come in and you can stay for as long as it makes sense for you and as long as it's right. And so that really, like, that kind of relationship goes very well when things are going well, like positive. I think it's just so challenging when things are, you know, in the negative, like conflicts, disagreements. There are sometimes abuse, like words being thrown around that are not accurate, not right of the situation, right? So I've experienced just a lot of negativity in that, in some of those interactions, and that has caused me so much heartbreaks. And I've cried multiple days. I've processed it for multiple months at a time. And that's something that I never thought I would experience. Like I didn't see that at the beginning of my journey. I just thought, you know, if I can, anyone that I help, I think that it would be a great and positive experience. But what I came to realize is that sometimes, and not all of the time, right? Like I don't want to say it's all the time, because I think most of the times it's going to be positive. But I think sometimes there are that negative aspects, and it is quite difficult. And I think the reason why it's difficult is because our brain, we tend to weigh the negative experiences a lot more heavily than the positive ones. So if you have, you know, lived through some parts of life, you can see that it's easy for us to get caught up in one thing that goes bad in the day, but then 10 things that went well, it's like, oh, it just goes into the brain, it goes to the other, right? It's kind of like we take it for granted. So just psychologically, we weigh the negative a lot more heavily than the positive. And that is why even when, say, I had 2 to 3 clients who made this, or who I had this experience that were kind of challenging and difficult for me, versus the rest of the others, like 30 of them, still, it's like, why does my brain go to the 3 that makes it so difficult? Not that they make it difficult, but the experience was difficult for me. And then the rest of the 30s that were just so amazing, like, where does my brain go? And it does focus a lot on that. And I think there's nothing wrong with learning and over-focusing on the negative in order to learn from them. I think one of the reasons why that I focus on those is because I wanted to learn from that experience. So I think that was fine. But I think there comes a point when, if it's your journey or my journey, we have to start to evaluate things in a balanced scale. Like, hey, listen, there's a lot of the positive here, so let's take a look there. And I think that's kind of the direction that I'm heading towards. And I think it is a process to go from here to there. And I've also, like, sometimes, well, in the past, let's say 5 years ago, I used to listen to a lot of, you know, podcasts on entrepreneurships, especially Lewis Howe, The School of Greatness, or How I Built This with Guy Raz. And I would listen to these stories of entrepreneurs experiencing hardships and bankruptcy and all these like crazy, you know, insane challenges and just deep stuff. And I would think at that time, like, oh wow, like they can overcome that. That's so great. And I feel like I understood that at a mental level, as if like it was inspiring. But as I'm in this journey, like in the groundwork, in the battlefield, it's like, holy shit, this is so hard. This is so fucking hard, because some days it's like you're so connected to your purpose, your reason why, as to why you're doing this, who you are and your values and your vision. Like, I think some days we have those days where we're so focused, we're like, this is why I'm doing this. This is the thing that makes sense for me. This is like what my heart yearns for, and we're so strong on that vocation. But then there are some days where like, I don't want to do this anymore. It doesn't make sense. This is so hard. Why is it like this? Am I doing something wrong? And today, all I could say to myself is, you know, it's like that saying where it's like, you fall 7 times and get up 8. It's like, if you just get up that one more time, you're good. You're good. And that's kind of what I see, is that mistakes, negativity, any kind of challenges are inevitable. They are going to happen, and they're going to happen again and again and again. Just hopefully different problems come and not the same one, because if there's the same one, then you haven't resolved it the first time. But if you experience different levels of challenges and problems, it's not a bad sign. So for me, it's just like, okay, these things are going to happen. They're bound to happen. That's just the reality of life, of business, of anything, even non-business, even like in a career path. So it's just that saying goes, fall 7 times, just get up the 8th. Like, just get up that one more time. And I feel like that's all we can cheer ourselves for. It's like that one more time that you get up, that one more time that you just believe in yourself, that one more time that you just tell yourself, you know what, maybe I can do this. That one more time that you're like, you know, yeah, like I think I'm gonna give it another go. I think those are so important. And I think I even hope to like rewatch this. Sometimes I record things. I used to record things on my voice notes on my iPhone, and I would listen to them again, and I'd be like, damn, like this kind of energy is what I need in this moment. So sometimes I record these things and I rewatch them at the time when I need it. So I feel like this is something I would rewatch for myself. I think another thing that I wanted to share in a very vulnerable way is, I feel that there has been so much glamorization when it comes to going all in on your business. I think there's nothing wrong with going all in when it comes to your time, your effort, your energy, etc. But I think it's very circumstantial. So I read this book called The Messy Middle, and in there the author says this one thing that really sticks with me, and that is, advices can be absolutely excellent. Like, there can be great advices out there, but if this advice is given at the wrong time to the wrong person, it can be the wrong advice. And so I think that's something a lot when it comes to the business setting, is there are so many advices out there in terms of what to do, how to do things. And we tend to take all advices as if they apply to us. But the truth is, every advice is very circumstantial. And we have to learn the skill to discern which advice actually makes sense for where we are in terms of the resources that we have, the capability that we're current at, the stage that we're at, we have to discern what actually makes sense. And we have that ability and that power. But we forget that. We tend to just take everything and just take it as a way to apply it to our situation. And that's exactly what I did. And so there were a lot of entrepreneurship stories where people would go all in, where they would like quit their job and they would do all these things and they just like put all their energy and effort into their business venture. And so in the past, I thought that's exactly what I have to do in order to succeed. I have to like burn the boats. I have to go all in. I have to like take the biggest risk possible in order to make this thing work, in order to grow this business. What I have learned in this past year is this. You can absolutely do that. You can absolutely go all in. You can absolutely exhaust or use all of the resources that you have. But can you sustain that? Right? The question of sustainability actually comes for me after like a year. Because what I start to realize is this is not sustainable. The way that I am pouring everything, it's not sustainable. It's like, what I have started to realize is I had a very short-term planning at the very beginning. And how do you know you have something short-term? Is you want the results fast. So whether it be losing weight, right? So, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, I want to lose 5 pounds in 5 weeks. So if you want any kind of results in a very fast period of time, you know that that's when you are in short-term thinking. So whether it be making money or it be losing weight or it be having the loving relationship or anything of that matter, right? Like if you put it in a very short-term context, that's how you know that you are in short-term thinking. And so when you're in that mindset, essentially what happens is you tend to burn out. You tend to burn out because your strategies and your planning are very short-term oriented. They're not sustainable. So there's this saying goes where the higher you want to build, the digger you want to deep. The deeper you want to dig. The higher you want to build, the deeper you want to dig. And when I hear that statement, it's like, don't try to do things as fast as possible. Don't try to lose the weight as fast as possible. Don't try to find the love of your life as fast as possible. Don't try to like get married or have kids or have a successful career as fast as possible. Like it's not a race. It's not really a race at all. The society has made it seem like a race, but in my experience from just in my first year of running it like a race, I actually exhausted myself. I exhausted so much of myself. And now the question becomes different. Now the question that I would want to inspire and engage you with is, what is sustainable? What is something that you could see working like long-term in terms of how you go about it, in terms of your approach, right? So what is like the 5 years approach? What is like, if you were to do this for a decade, how would you go about it? Would you be rushing? Would you be trying to run to your next milestone, your next goal? No, you wouldn't. Because if you look at things in like a decade's time, you would actually take your time. You would breathe. You would reflect. You would contemplate. You would think about your next move and the moves after that. You would think and reflect and have self-awareness, and you would go at a pace that's right for you, and you would go in a way that actually works for you, that makes sense for you, and you would allow yourself the spaces in between to integrate the lessons along the way. And that's, I think that creates the most growth in that decades of time. But when we only think of like 1 year, oh, how can I achieve this goal in 1 year? We tend to have those short-term thinking, right? It's like, how can I achieve this as fast as possible? Lose the weight in like 1 month, or lose the weight for my wedding, or lose the weight for this beach summer season. but that short-term, if you've read about weight loss, it's like people who do that, they tend to gain all the weight back. And there's a psychological reasons for that. So whatever that short-term pursuit, we tend to either burn ourselves out, we don't really achieve the things, we just set the wrong expectation, we set the wrong context for how much we can achieve and what we can truly do. We don't give ourselves enough time to grow. It's like forcing a seed to grow in a period of time. It's like forcing a pineapple, instead of growing in 18 months, we force it to grow in 2 months. That only works with genetically modified foods. I think of it too, like a baby. You're pregnant for 9 months. You cannot be pregnant for 2 months and give birth. Like, even if you want to, even if you love the baby so much, even if you're like, I love my baby so much, I want the baby now, right? I'm gonna pray for the baby. I swear to God, I want the baby now. You cannot go from 9 months to 2 months. Like, that is just not possible. So I feel like a lot of the times we have these big goals, we have these grand goals for ourselves, and we put too short of a period of time for us to achieve it. And that's how we kind of step on our own toes in a way, where we sabotage our own ability and our own capability. Because I think in the long run, if we give ourselves decades to think, like to think about our lives, then we would go about them in a very well-mannered ways. And you know, so those are some of the things that I've been learning, reflecting upon when it comes to my journey. In the past, I can guarantee you that I've only thought of short terms. And I thought I was thinking long term at the time, because I thought, oh, well, I could do this for a long time. But actually, the way my approach was very short term, meaning I wanted the success quick. I wanted the results quick, whatever that was. I just wanted things quickly, as if like you order the things today on Amazon and you want it to be delivered like within 24 hours. So, you know, it's that doesn't work is all I have to say. It doesn't work. So the way that I'm moving forward and the way that I want to engage you with the conversations and topics and things in your life is, what would be sustainable for you? What would be something that you would love to do in the way that you would love to do it for the next 5 to 10 years? Whether it be that passion project or a business that you've put on the back burner, or even something that you're doing right now, like a project or a business that you're running right now. What would be a sustainable way to build this, to grow this in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time? How could you see yourself growing with it? Because it's not necessarily about growing it, but it's also you growing with it and it growing with you. So it's kind of that beautiful dynamic. And I think that's. So I think that's a good wrap up for that piece of topic. But yeah, I think the last thing that I want to say is negativity, challenges, struggles are so inevitable. It's just an expectation of being on any path, is that there are going to be challenges and struggle. And I think that as long as you and I get up the 8th time after the 7th time of falling, then just that 8th time is good enough. It's what matters the most, because we can't guarantee that we'll never fall. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna fall many, many times, but all that I can guarantee is that if I can just somehow find a way to get back up that 8th time, then I think that's what matters the most. And I think it's also about giving ourselves grace for the period of time to get up that 8th time. Is it doesn't have to be immediate. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I got back up immediately after I fell. Sometimes we fell and we cry and we're like sitting there bleeding and we're like, oh my God, this wound hurts so much, I can't walk, right? And we're like kind of sitting there for a while. And I think each time we fall, it's probably a little bit different, but sometimes we get up faster, sometimes we take a longer time, but whatever it is, I think that just getting back up that 8th time is really, really good. What a beautiful conversation. I'm gonna post this as a podcast as well, so if you want to listen back to it any times, you can jump over on my podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts at Astasia Cara, and you can listen to this video, this episode again. So thank you so much for watching, and I hope to see you next time. Bye.